every time my kids and my wife come up here to sing, everyone seems to smile. And then when I come up here, like, all the smiles seem to be gone. So I'm not sure what the dynamics are there. If you have your Bibles, please turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I say this every time, but I feel I need to.
I feel so blessed with the family God has given me. And my wife is so kind and wonderful. And when I first met her, I was so nervous, and she just seemed so nice, and I was just afraid, you know. I don't want to ruin a good thing. And her whole family was like that. They were all nice, and I thought, this is going to be disappointing for you really soon, because they were all so nice. And, of course, her family's from the South, and so when they first met me, everyone in the church hugged me, and they all invited me to lunch. And so I said, of course. And that's how it all started right there. So anyway, they're very nice, though. I appreciate my wife and my kids, and I feel like God has blessed me so much in my time here at Marquette. And I feel like even when I do things wrong, it all works out somehow, and the Lord just protects. The Lord has provided for us in wonderful ways as a family. We do things, and I feel like my life doesn't match my income somehow. Not that I have big credit card debt, Dave Ramsey people, but I feel like God has just given us so many things, and it just seems like wherever I go, it's something good happens. If I go to a Cubs game, they're going to score 14 runs. That's what happened yesterday. But that just seems like, now, I don't know why this is, but the Lord is so good to me, and I'm just so grateful. Serving the Lord is such a wonderful thing, and it's such a blessing to have to be in the center of God's will, to have God guide and direct you, to give you joy and peace. I'm just so thankful. My heart is filled with gratitude, and I think if I don't say this to you, I almost feel guilty. I should be sharing the blessing that God's given me. So I'm a very blessed man, and I'm very grateful. Let's pray, and then we'll dig into the scripture here, and we'll see what God has to say to us tonight. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we pray as we look at your word, that we hear what you have to say to us. Lord, we love you, and we praise your glorious name. You're such a good God and such a wonderful God, and serving you is the greatest honor and joy we could ever have. I pray that we'd be worthy servants of your cause. Help us to represent Christ in the way that we act and think, and I pray that others would see us and that we would just point to you, Lord. If nothing else we do, help us to point to you with all of our might and our strength. And Lord, I pray that we would be the example that you want us to be. Lord, I pray that you'd strengthen us, enable us for the ministry that you have for us. Lord, we can't do it. And so we ask for your help. And we pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4. But before, again, I'd like to talk to you. This ending part of the book is really about leadership. I want to talk to you about leadership. What is a leader? We think of sometimes leaders as having a position of authority. That makes someone a leader. We think about someone who might be considered important. We think that might be a leader. But I want to tell you, a leader is who you are. You don't try to be a leader. You are a leader. Okay? And I think of some great leaders in Scripture, and the way that God powerfully used them because of their spirit and because of their walk with the Lord. And what a wonderful thing. I think about in Acts 9 with Dorcas. And she's someone who had lost her husband. And she devoted her time to serving the people of the church, making them clothes, acts of service. And at the time of her death, it's such a great loss for the church. And she's raised back from the dead. And it's such a powerful testimony and such an encouragement because she was such a spark plug in her Christian walk. And I want to use a contemporary example for our outreach team that's here. One of my first summers here, we had a young man here named Javier. And Javier was different. Good different, I should say. Okay? We had a problem up top here with the drainage in our upper parking lot, and something was clogged. And so we were doing the Saturday morning routine of fixing whatever, and water's not draining very well. And so we pull off the manhole cover, and we all look at it. It's like when you're a guy, you just look at problems, right? Like you pop the hood and you look at it. Yeah, the engine's still there. I don't know what you're looking at, but guys like to stand around and look at, we like to look at problems, right? So we popped off the manhole cover, we all looked at it, and we're looking at the problem. And so we all come to the same conclusion. There's a reason it's not draining. Something is probably clogging it up. And so by the time we turn around and look back, Javier has his shoes and socks off and taken off his fancy baseball cap, and he's wearing white clothes. And he's jumped into our sewer thing, and I think I found the problem. And so he dug down. We gave him buckets and whatever else. And I was just so impressed by Javier, his work ethic. So, as I do, and I'm really impressed with somebody, what do? You take him to Culver's. Okay, so I took Javier to Culver's, And I talked to him to find out what his story was after he had changed, of course, and showered because he smelled bad. And so I talked to Javier. He's 19 years old. I said, so what did you do before you came to West Coast? He said, I was a pastor. At 18, a pastor? Really? So I got to talk to him, and he really was a pastor. And he really ministered to the people of that church. Can someone be 18 years old and a pastor? Javier could, okay? Now, I didn't make it into the ministry until I was 28, 29, because I wasn't ready, okay? But Javier, 18, he's got this. And just such a great spirit all summer. And so I had to ask him, because the guy was such a gem. And so I had to ask Javier, so why are you at West Coast if you're already a pastor? He said, the people of the church want me to get married. And so, I don't know. I'm not sure how all that works, if they have a class for that or what they do at West Coast. But you need to sign up for that society that he's in, whatever it is, service ministry, whatever. But yes, the fact that he was a pastor at 18, he was 19 by then, I could tell by the way that he lived, because he was a leader and his attitude towards difficult tasks, he wasn't trying to hide. The way he interacted with other people, and just the way the Lord had worked in his life, you could tell there was a humility there and a sense of purpose and leadership. Okay? And so the Lord calls us all into a position of leadership. If you're a member of a church, you are a leader. Okay? Now hopefully they're the kind of leaders that God wants, and we're able to help others. So Paul is writing to Timothy. Now Paul is much older. I think Paul by now, he's got to be this impressive figure, perhaps intimidating for others. And he plants this church, he ends up leaving, and young Timothy is there to sort things out. The word for young is 31, 32, something like that is kind of the implication. But in a society that respected age, he was considered young. And this church has all kinds of problems, and what will they do? I think of Philippians 2, where Paul describes Timothy. He says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with a father, he hath served me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, as soon as I shall see how it will go with me. And so we know that Timothy is just such a leader. And even though he's young, we talked about the confidence thing in 4:12. He's working on building confidence in what he's doing. And yet he has the heart, and so the Lord will use him in his service. And so older Paul writes to younger Timothy. And he writes to us as well. God uses the pages of inspired scripture to speak to our lives about what does it mean to truly be a leader. Someone that God uses to stand out in the church. And someone who helps others, not just themselves, but someone that truly is a leader, like Dorcas. Like Javier, and like many others in the scripture. 1 Timothy 4:12. This is the scripture that I read last time. It kind of goes with this section. And there's a series of commands for him to lead. He says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou the example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to the reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with a laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. God uses men and women of spiritual character to be leaders in his church. God uses each one of us. God wants each one of us to be a leader. Now, maybe you don't have a formal title. That's okay. All right? What matters most is that God is using us and we're having impact for Christ. And to be the encouragement, I think sometimes we look around and we wait for the next person. Who's going to step up? What's going to happen? You know, something is wrong. You need to step up. Okay? We could spend all our time worrying about who's this person and I don't want to go first. What if it's the wrong thing? You will do the wrong thing in life at some point. But you also do the wrong thing by doing nothing either, okay? And 9 times out of 10, if you do something, it helps, okay? Maybe you need to get help if it's something really important. But if there's a spiritual problem, we need to meet the task, okay? Leaders will run to problems. Leaders don't hide from problems. I can't do it. I'm not qualified. We all have excuses. Nobody wants to hear yours. And so God wants each one of us to be the leaders that He's called us to be. And I think sometimes we're afraid of leadership. And I think there's three reasons why we're afraid of leadership. Number one, I don't think anyone wants to be in the spotlight. If you're in leadership, if you're the one that steps out, everyone's going to notice you and look at you. And some of us, that's just uncomfortable, right? If you're a leader, you're going to get a lot of attention. It's like you're in a fishbowl, and there's nowhere to hide in leadership. If you're in leadership, you have to step up, okay? Because if you're not doing what you're supposed to, people will notice, okay? Especially if you're the one giving the commands to others, they're going to say, but what about? Okay, so that forces us to be who we say we are. And so sometimes we're afraid to be in leadership because we're afraid of what people might see. Sometimes I think we're afraid of responsibility. I think every one of us has a little bit of lazy in us, don't we? And if we got our desire, we'd be laying on a hammock next to a beach somewhere, just relaxing. And that's good for this life. It doesn't help us in the next life. It doesn't point toward people towards Christ. It doesn't really build reward in heaven. And there's a time for relaxation, but our natural flesh just wants to take it easy and relax, okay? And if you're in leadership, you can't relax. If something goes wrong, you have to do something, right? People are going to look to you to remedy the situation. I think also being in leadership, there's also a certain amount of pressure and stress, okay? So, and it's important that we're not afraid of these things. Shakespeare said, "Heavy lies the head that wears the crown." And the idea is if you're the one responsible, then you have to worry about what might happen and have contingency or deal with problems. And so there is a sacrifice in being a leader. But I will remind you this, that in the Christian life, God rewards our sacrifice, doesn't He? And God can give us joy and hardship. When we step out by faith, that's when God uses us, okay? Anyone can sit on the sidelines and watch. God's not going to bless that person. He's going to bless the person in the trenches that's doing their best. He's going to give them the help they need. They're going to have joy as they sacrificed. And so it's important that we're not afraid of the leadership that God gives us, but we're being all that we can be for Christ. Notice with me, if you look at this passage, and we covered verse number 12 whenever I spoke last. It's been a while. We've had a number of different Sundays. But we're going to start in verse 13, and Paul's going to give four signs of spiritual leadership, and they're in the forms of imperatives, okay? So there's four signs of a spiritual leader. God wants us to be the leader that He's called us to be. And so here's four signs if you are a spiritual leader. Number one, verse 13, it says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading," or the idea of is to pay attention. This verb, it's a command. And it's the same verb they used, the idea of bringing a ship to shore, that you had to really pay attention closely to what's happening to be sure everything went correctly. So, "Till I come, give attention to reading and to exhortation and to doctrine," or teaching. And so number one, I want you to notice, a spiritual leader, well, first of all, pay attention to God's Word. A spiritual leader will pay attention to God's Word. Now, he talks about young Timothy. You know, I'm not there right now. And I think of Paul as this imposing figure. You think he writes all these books in the New Testament. Now, total number of words, I think Luke has him beat. But as far as total number of books, Paul writes these major works that are just so deep. And I can imagine Paul being there. And he leaves, and they're like, "Paul's gone, what do we do?" You know, it's easy to get our eyes on a human and look up to that human as our spiritual leader as opposed to the Lord. And Paul says to Timothy, "I'm not here, it'll be fine. Pay attention to what the Scripture says, okay? Focus on that. And when I come back, I'll try to help you guys. But for now, you need to be focusing on the Scripture, not just me here, okay? And you have what you need. But, he says, in my absence, I want you to pay attention to the Scripture. And there's three ways I want you to pay attention to the Scripture. First of all, it talks about reading the Scripture. Give attendance to the reading. And it's so important as leaders that we are in the Scripture. And that we see this as God's Word. And I would say, I'd go one step further. I would say, read this book with a purpose. Read it with a plan. Read it like you mean it, okay? Sometimes we can do this. You know, I haven't read my Bible all day. It's late at night. I'm going to read Acts 19. Okay, you can do this. But if you're not systematic, you're going to miss a lot of things, okay? Have a plan. Have a set time. Have a system that you're going to do it. You'll get much more out of it. And write down things that you're learning. All these things can be helpful, or make notes to yourself. But if you're going to be a leader, God has to work in your life. If we really believe this is the Word of God, then we should be in this. And if we do believe that this is the power to live the Christian life, we better be reading this thing, because we can't do this on our own. Okay? So if you're a leader, he mentions, he says, pay attention, reading the Word of God. Secondly, he talks about exhortation. We're to be encouraging others to follow it. We need each other. You know, sometimes in a crisis moment, I don't know about this is you, but sometimes when I have a lot going on and I get one, you know, you feel like you have your hands completely full and someone throws something else at you and it's like you do this routine, it's easy to panic, isn't it? And to lose your focus on the Lord and what really matters. And sometimes we need encouragement. We need exhortation. We need each other to encourage each other. You know what? You can do this. The Lord will help you. Because I don't know what happens to my brain. But when there's a lot in there, it's suddenly things that I should know kind of disappear. And so we need each other to be encouraging. We need to be encouraging, discipling one another. Okay, this is why God gave us the church. We need each other. Okay, we all have strengths and weaknesses. We need to compliment each other and encourage each other and to remind each other. Okay, sometimes you get overwhelmed, you forget. You know, God has this under control. Someone tells you, you know, you're going through a lot. I'm praying for you that God can help you. Okay, I need this reminder. Okay, so we need to be paying attention to Scripture. We need to be encouraging each other to follow the Scripture. And then last, it says pay attention to the teaching. And the idea of teaching is, or the doctrine is teaching. What does the Bible say? Learning, what does it mean? I'm really focused on this. I'm going to observe to do. I'm going to pay attention to this so I completely understand this. And if you have a hard time learning things, you can ask somebody. I get people that ask me questions. I try to answer. Usually I have some kind of answer, but sometimes the kids will stump me and I have to go look it up. And that's fine too. But we need answers, okay? Let's figure out what this means. Let's be applying our brains as we look at Scripture. And there's all kinds of apps. There's all kinds of websites that, if you don't know the original language, there's all kinds of websites that will do all the work for you. You just click on it. It's great. And then there's all kinds of things available to help you, okay? So as a leader, we need to be learning the Scripture. What does this mean? Let me ask you this. As a leader, how much do you spend in here? You spend time doing other things. Is this really the priority for you? I hope that it is. I hope that you realize how essential this is to your life. Either sin will keep you from the book, or the book will keep you from sin. Have you read Scripture today? Have you thought about what God has to say in your life? Do you love God's Word? Are you spending time in it regularly? Do you have people that encourage you? Do you drop your walls long enough to tell people where you're really at so they can pray for you? Okay, this definitely takes humility to admit weakness. A lot of us have a hard time being vulnerable in front of somebody else, dropping our walls. But we need those relationships in our life. We need to know God's Word. We need to have it applied to our lives. So, first, he mentions to be a leader, we need to pay attention to God's Word. Secondly, he says, don't let your spiritual gifts go to waste. Don't let your spiritual gifts go to waste. Verse 14, neglect not, or the idea of this verb can, this is the verb can also be, don't be careless, or maybe you're not paying attention and something happens. Don't neglect the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with a laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Okay? So, we're given these commands in Scripture. God gives us supernatural enabling. Let's not waste the gifts that God has given us. Let's put them to use. Okay? The gifts here are referring to spiritual gifts. As the Spirit came, the Spirit gave gifts. Now, there's a transitional period between the Old and New Testament, and the gifts at times were given. They could lay hands on someone, pray for them, and the Spirit would come down in that time in Acts, transitional time. And the Holy Spirit would enable and empower believers to do God's will. And this was something that was passed down. This was prophesied in the Old Testament and passed down. And the laying on the hands of the presbytery, this is referring to the word presbytery here. This refers to a body of elders or leaders in the church that laid hands on him. Perhaps could be referring to his ordination. But they laid hands on him, praying for him, and God enabled him to use his gifts. Perhaps his gift, there's a number of gifts in the Scripture, and God gives believers gifts. Some of us have physical gifts. Some of us enjoy serving. Some are more speaking gifts. There's some of you that just can't wait to talk. If I ask you to raise your hand, you're the first ones to shoot your hands up, and maybe you the first to give a testimony. Some people are more verbal. But God gives various gifts to various believers, and as a body, well, we all have different gifts, and we work together to accomplish the mission God has for us. Perhaps young Timothy has the gift of pastor-teacher, and Paul's encouraging him to go forward and use those gifts. Don't neglect them. Don't get it's easy to get busy and not use the gifts that God has given us, or to lose focus on what's important and just to be busy in life. Being busy is the easiest thing, isn't it? Wasting time. Oh, there's few things I love more in this world than wasting time. I'll tell you. Oh, it's so easy to do, isn't it? You sit down and you're like, "Ooh, this feels good." You think about getting up and you're like, "No, too soon." All right? It's easy for us to waste time or to work on things that don't really matter. I love working on projects that are meaningless, you know? It makes it more exciting because it doesn't really matter. I can waste time for hours. I've told you about girls' night at our house, haven't I? We've been over this standing joke at the church, if you don't know. But in my house, the girls have a night when they all sleep in mom and dad's bed, and I sleep. They have a boys' night, they call it. I sleep on the couch. And I always think, I'm going to stay up and waste time. Maybe watch some sports, do something relaxing. And then about 10 minutes later, I'm asleep usually. So it never works. But isn't it our human nature to just relax? And you know what? You can be so busy, and you can just, like a hamster running in a wheel, you can have your life so full of things that are just so empty and meaningless, can't you? And you can go to bed at night and think, what did I do today? I don't even know. Okay? Did anything I do really matter? Did it accomplish anything? It's important that we're not just wasting time. It's important that we're using the gifts God has given us to do things that really matter, to do things that bring Him honor and glory, that build the church. And so Paul's reminding Timothy, use your gift, build up your gifts, and don't let them go to waste. Don't just be busy. Serve in the body. Use your gifts the way God had designed them to help other believers, okay? Let me ask you this a question. Are you using the gifts that God has given you? And there can be all kinds of gifts. There's some people like to get their hands greasy, right? They always have greasy hands, and that's their gift, to physically serve. Some people are encouragers, okay? They like to call people or post encouraging messages, perhaps on Facebook or whatever. What is your gift, and how have you used it? Are you serving others, or is your life just kind of like a swamp where water doesn't go anywhere, just kind of molding and rotting? You know, this is a sad thing when people use all their gifts and talents just to kind of make themselves happy. What a waste. What a wasted life. This is not why God gave us gifts. And so if you're going to be a leader, you need to use your gifts to serve the body of Christ and use your gifts the way God has designed them. All right, number three, to be a leader is to commit your mind to believing biblical truth. To commit your mind to believing biblical truth. Verse 15, meditate upon these things. Imperative. The imperative here is meditate and give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Okay? So here this right doctrine is. He says, meditate, think about it, ruminate, okay? Give yourself wholly to them. I'm going to think about this. I'm going to commit to do these things in order that thy profiting or thy progress may appear to all. Okay? I'm going to give myself, I'm going to think about these things, I'm going to give myself to them, and I'm going to exemplify Christ to others, that they can see me growing in my faith, growing, not perfect, but walking with the Lord and being honest and open. When I make a mistake, this is what you say. You ready for this? I made a mistake. You're honest. You're open. You're transparent. And people see this, and this is encouraging to them. They think, okay, I make mistakes too. We have something in common here, and you're able to be the leader God wants you to be. Much of the spiritual life is up here. Did you know this? A lot of life is what you think. A lot of life is what you allow yourself to dwell on. And you can discipline your mind. You know, sometimes I think my brain goes places it doesn't need to go. I need to turn it off. Or I need to spend time and focus on prayer or focus on Scripture. Because if you just allow your mind to run wild, you'll make yourself into all kinds of pretzel shapes, making all kinds of horrible choices. Your emotions are fallen, aren't they? And Jeremiah warns us, your heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's easy for us to trust our feelings. This is how I feel, and I'm just going to follow these feelings. Well, this is going to lead you astray. It's important that we have disciplined thoughts. We take every thought obedient to Christ. We're disciplined in our mind, okay? I'm going to focus on believing truth. Not what I want to believe, what is true. Whether I feel like it's true or not, I'm going to focus on that. I'm going to be disciplined in my thoughts. I'm not going to allow myself to discourage myself, beat myself up. I'm going to focus on what is the truth. I'm going to focus on this. I'm going to give myself fully to this. I'm going to believe this. I'm going to act it out in my everyday life. My thoughts that are true are going to lead to true actions. And I'm going to be the example for others. I'm going to show them Christ and how I live by my life. Are you committed to in your thoughts? Do you allow the Lord to control your thoughts? Or do you just kind of, you know, I'm having a bad day. It's how it is. Sorry, guys. Well, that's good for you. It's not good for the rest of us, right? And so, and there may be times when you are tired and discouraged. Christ had time when he got away, and I could see him giving and just being spent, okay? And I understand that. But the Lord can help us when we hit bottom, can't he? The Lord can encourage us. And so it's important that we model Christ-likeness in our thoughts and our actions and as we impact others, that God uses us to spread his truth. I hope that you're a growing, impactful believer. All right, so number four, if we're going to be believers that are spiritual leaders, we need to allow God's word to impact our spiritual life and the spiritual life of those around us. If you're going to be a spiritual leader, you need to allow God's word to impact your spiritual life and the spiritual life of those around you. Verse 16, he says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Take heed to yourself. Pay attention to yourself. You can't help anyone else if you're not being real in your own life. And you know, a lot of times hypocrites are quick to glean on to what other people are doing wrong. And the reason why they know it so well is because they're good at it themselves, right? He who calls his neighbor a fool is a fool, Proverbs says. A lot of times we pick out the things that we do, right? We see other people and it annoys us. But if I'm going to be a spiritual leader, if I just running around and fix everybody else, what's going to happen? I'm not going to really help them, am I? I'm just going to create friction and problems. I've got to start by being real in my own life. I think about the beam and the mote illustration that Christ uses. One person has a giant tree in their eye. Another person has a little toothpick. And the big tree guy comes over to help the toothpick guy and whacks him in the head. And Christ says, you can't help anyone when you got a beam in your eye. You got to take that big log out so you can help the other person with their problem. You're going to whack them in the head. And it's important. If we want to be helping others, we got to have truth in our own heart, truth in our own lives. We got to be right with the Lord ourselves. We got to be fixing our own problems. You know, if you've ever tried to fix yourself with the power of God's help and looking at Scripture, praying to the Holy Spirit, you know how hard you are to fix? Do you have any idea? People that love to fix everyone else, I think to myself, is it because you're done fixing yourself? Is this why you have so much energy to fix the world? You know, I think if we really had humility and looking at our own selves, when we talk to other people, we're going to sound differently, aren't we? We're not going to be so harsh and condemning because we're going to say, yeah, I know where you're at. I've been there. This is why I want to encourage you. The Lord's helped me, and I want to try to help you. And it's going to come across very differently. Okay? So, we need to start by fixing ourselves. And as God works in our life, as we have humility, and humility, we think it's something complex and hard to reach. Humility is just honesty, right? Seeing myself the way God sees me. Not having an inflated view of myself, but being real. As I see myself and where I am, and then I can help somebody else, can't I? Then I can reach out to them. If you don't examine your own life, though, you're in no place to help anyone else. We need to think like David's thought in Psalm 139. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Wow. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a really scary prayer, doesn't it? If you stood before the Lord and said, hey, look through me, check me out, see what's inside. I'm guessing God could come up with something, couldn't he? And if we really had this humility. But this is a prayer we need to have. Lord, what in my life do I need to fix? What do I need to see before I try to help anybody else? And as God works in our lives, as we have humility, then it gives us a platform to help others, doesn't it? The Lord has helped me. I want to try to be an encouragement to you. The Lord can help build you the way He built me. Do you take time to examine yourself? Do you even acknowledge the fact that you could have a blind spot? We're so quick to find blind spots in others, but do we ever think to myself, what am I messing up? Is there something that I'm possibly missing? We need to have humility. We need to have honesty so that we can have impact on the lives of others as God impacts us today. So in conclusion, I'm going to ask you, how are you as a leader? Are you someone that God's using in this body to build up the believers? Are you here? Do you just kind of follow someone else around? Or are you someone who's really just a spark plug of help? Are you an encouragement to other people? Do you pay attention to Scripture yourself? Are you reading Scripture? Are you thinking about it? Is it impacting your life? Are you someone of humility that can help other people? I pray that God uses each one of us to be the leaders that He wants us to be, to have impact for eternity, and to make our lives count. I hope that you're right before the Lord today. I hope that you're genuine and real, and you're not just superficial, and that God can truly use you as you follow Him. Let's pray.